You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Part of the way that I stare, there's nothing else to compare. The sight of you keeps me cool. There are no words I can speak. But if you feel like I do, please let me know that it's real. You're just a
Terrible Tommy's back again, and that was a request from one of our buddies that he's requested that song before, I think. If any of your other people want to request a She-Wolf song on Friday, get it into me at least a day before, and I'll play it for you, as long as it's not Hagila from Israel or something. Yeah, so it is November the 4th. 2016, and we're ready to go here. Beautiful sunny day here. The leaves are changing. I've got a tree outside my house here. I got a lot of trees outside my house, but the one that's beautiful is, maybe I'll send it to you, is golden. It's beautiful, golden in the sun, and in the sunshine. It's absolutely fantastic. Pretty time of the year here in Indiana. Well, I told you, you might want to communicate with David Duke and tell him what you think about all that stuff about him supporting Trump and Trump supporting Israel like nobody I've ever seen. Trump is supporting Israel more than Obama, because the Israeli press give Obama hell all the time because he doesn't get right down there and really kiss their ass too much. Well, he still kisses their ass, but anyhow, But Donald Trump has gone way beyond that. So I sent it to you yesterday. So if you've read it, you'll know. So you can communicate with Duke. I think it'd be a waste of time because he's the slickest talker around. I give him that. DavidDuke.com. And I see now the Israel Press has got an article about him in which he's slacking down on the Jews too. Well, I never was a super duper get all the Jews. I mean, you know, I believe in, there's bad people in these different races and groups of people, and they should be taken care of. But that doesn't mean I'm walking down the street slapping the shit out of anybody I see that's a Jew either. So, anyhow, it's a complicated mess. But it won't be complicated very long once Hillary gets in there. And I don't think there's any chance that Trump's going to pull it off, especially getting past the Electoral College, which is something we should have eliminated a long time ago. Actually, all you have to do is buy your way into the Electoral College by running hack politicians, and you just sit back and let the popular vote go where it goes. Had all kinds of presidents won the popular vote and still weren't made president. Al Gore is a perfect example. But he didn't fight it all the way like he should have. No guts, no glory. You know, I've decided no good, strong white man should ever run for office. And I shouldn't have done it either, because when you do, you got to split yourself into a million ways to try to get elected. And there's no way you can be honest to your race, to yourself, to anybody, when you run in that kind of a fixed situation. I think all these guys that were military guys who became president, well, they first did their great battles and won their great physical battles, and then they ran for president. That's the difference. I don't know what's happened to the Chicago Cubs other than winning the pennant. Because I don't know what's happened to the black KKK in Chicago, because they only made 14 arrests at the celebration of the pennant won by the Cubs. So we're going to have to talk to those boys up there in Chicago to get back on the stick. However, it appears that the most valuable player, and I forget his name here right now, is married to a, guess what, Hispanic? No, I think it's a mestizo, so he's got half mestizo kids. So goes the future, and so goes the Cubs.
Hey, in America, oil is more important than water. We all know that. I'm here with Hank Thompson, Ron Placone, Steph Zamorano. You know what's going on in North Dakota, right? So there's a bunch of Wall Street banks financing some oil companies that want to build a pipeline that's going to pollute the water, the Missouri River, which is where the natives get all their water from. By the way, it's the longest river in America. So they're going to pollute it. And by the way, they're going over Native American lands that is rightfully theirs by a treaty. So it doesn't look good, right? So if you're a white guy and you have guns and you go over, take over some federal land, nothing happens to you. Nothing. In fact, they even send your mail to you. But if you are actually standing up against it, by the way, these cops, they're not out there at the behest of their citizens. These cops are out there at the behest of the donors to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Wall Street and the fossil fuel companies, that's why they're there. The people don't want them there. In fact, there was some sheriff from Wisconsin sent his people there, his cops there, and the people from the town said, fuck you, bring those people back. We don't want our cops going cracking the heads of peaceful protesters in another state at the behest of corporations. So,
you know what? This image is troubling. I just want to say that how troubling this is. You see all these men,
this is
police force in uniforms. Do you see what they're armed with? Do you see these long bats that they have in their hands? That they're ready to brutalize somebody? They're peaceful protesters.
Mace.
And if America allows this to continue, you're next.
Look how afraid he is of him. He's like, don't hurt me. As he, these cops are huge pussies, just so you know, in case you're not sure. That's, you know, guys who are actual tough guys don't become cops. Guys who want to feel like tough guys become cops. I can only be a tough guy with a bunch of other guys around me and immunity from prosecution, and I need a gun.
And it takes one of these cops to cross the line and stand with these Native Americans.
None of them will. None of these cops will cross the line and stand with the Native Americans, because that would take courage.
Real courage.
Cops do not have actual courage. We just need to wipe our minds clean of what cops are. Cops are hired thugs. That's what they are. They're not people who, these guys, do you think these guys joined because they want to, they're out there trying to make their community better? They're out in the middle of nowhere beating the fuck out of people at the behest of corporations. That's what those guys are doing. No respect to them. They're the lowest of the low. According to Think Progress, on Thursday, 141 people were arrested after armed law enforcement from at least six different frickin' states used sirens, pepper spray, and beanbag shots to clear a protest camp on private land.
Yeah, but they can go and destroy their burial ground, which I'm sure is private land.
On private land.
They can...
On private land, the cops just, we're just going to come in and beat the F out of you. On private land where the Dakota Access, a developing company, is building the 1,172-mile pipeline. The North Dakota National Guard and the company's private security were also involved. Oh, so they bring out some higher... Some, not even cops. Just assholes.
Yeah, that's a scary that company's private security.
Company's private security? So
I've been writing that a couple times.
They just get to hire thugs? Goes on. Injuries were reported on both sides.
Oh, brother.
On both sides.
You mean the guys who are wearing uniforms and bulletproof vests?
On both sides.
Would they twist an ankle?
On both sides. While activists said several protesters suffered broken bones. All of the protesters have been bailed out thanks to an anonymous donor who paid $2.5 million, Ron.
Wow.
That's $2.5 million for their release late Saturday.
That's super scary, because that will incentivize more arrests.
Yes.
Because that money just gets fed into the local
Now they got $2 million to go hire more cops.
Right. That's weird. I mean, obviously it's a good thing, and, you know.
Are you implying our justice system is corrupted by money? I mean,
I never could imagine that.
No. I mean, yeah.
Authorities allege authorities hired liars allege protesters threw Molotov cocktails, set blockades on fire, and claimed one activist shot at deputies as she was being arrested. Authorities, when you say authorities, what you're saying is people who are screwing over their own citizens at the behest of corporations. Those are authorities. So I won't say authorities. So criminals who are screwing over their own population at the behest of corporations allege that protesters threw Molotov cocktails. And I'm going to say that those authorities are fucking liars. And probably horrible people.
And most likely they infiltrated the protesters.
Of course they did. That's the first thing cops do, is they send someone in with the protesters to make protesters look bad. Of course that's the first thing they do. Protesters dispute the claims of authorities, including the report of the alleged shooting. Some news outlets, including the Los Angeles Times, said protesters remained peaceful during Thursday's camp. So I'm going to go with the LA Times over the lying cops, the guys who get paid to beat the fuck out of protesters, peaceful protesters in America. Those guys, those mouth-breathing, brain-dead thugs who get a kick out of it, that's why they're cops. You wouldn't be out there if you weren't enjoying it. If you were out there, this is horrible, you would leave.
And by the way, the authorities are on the wrong side of this issue.
Always on the wrong side, of course. North Dakota has... And why are all these cops from other states get to go crack? What is this? North Dakota has in turn used the 1996 Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which allows states to send law enforcement and other employees when a governor declares a state of emergency. So the governor declared a state of... Now this is what they're doing. So there's a state of emergency.
Well, in fairness, North Dakota is a pretty boring place.
State of emergency run peaceful
no, it's
protesters?
Ridiculous. Yeah, no. It
That's an emergency course. Peaceful protesters.
Absolutely ridiculous.
What was your point?
My point is that the government is deploying people to oppress the protesters. They're barely deploying anybody to go help the people in Detroit with water.
With Flint.
That's, yes.
Yeah, so what she's saying is, oh, the government snaps into action when you're trying to stop polluting water. We can't have those people not polluting water, but when the water's already polluted and you have lead-poisoned kids, the government's like, we don't know what to do. Who do we beat up? Are there any black people or brown people we can beat the crap out of? That's what we do. We're the government. No, you just need to get clean water there. No ideas. Can't help you. So that's a great point that Steph made, that yes, the government, they can unlimited resources when they have to go stomp on some peaceful protesters at the behest of polluters. But when people are being polluted, no answer. Nothing. Zip. Nothing. We're going to study it. We'll study it for a while. You don't want to send some cops over there to crack the heads of the government officials in Flint? No. You don't want to mace anybody in the government at Flint? Mm-mm. You guys don't want to go stun gun or use a water cannon or nothing on the governor who Flint? No.
Put him in a cage.
You want to go put anybody in a cage in Flint in the government and strip search them after poisoning everybody in Flint? No. No. How about in North Dakota? Oh, yeah, we're going to do all those things and more. Anybody tries to get in the way of a corporation, especially a fossil fuel corporation that's being funded by Wall Street, they're going to find out what's coming. A handful of states responded to the call, but at least one Wisconsin Sheriff's Department received pushback from the community and brought it. We did a story on that. We covered that. There's a video on that happening. That sheriff, Wisconsin Sheriff's, also a liar, lied about the violence of the protesters. We all know the people who are violent at peaceful protests are cops. I'm going to guess the people showing up with clubs, pepper spray, and guns and riot gear would be the ones starting the trouble. The pipeline is yet to receive federal permits to cross the Missouri River. And while Obama administration has asked the company to halt construction within 20 miles of the easement as it reviews the permits, the company has declined the request. So Barack Obama requested, pretty please. They said, and Barack Obama was, I'm powerless. I'm just the president. We're going to go start a war with Russia. But I can't stop anything happening in North Dakota. But I'm going to go bomb Aleppo. But we can't do anything in North Dakota. My hands are tied.
That's the Clinton Wall Street approach, right? Ask nicely.
Yeah.
Play nicely, guys.
Cut
no.
it out.
All right.
Yeah, that's like, come on, cut it out. According to one of the people who were protesting, she said, we were caged in dog kennels, sat on the floor, and we were marked with numbers, said Floris Whitebull in a YouTube video. As she wiped tears from her face, she said the cages were placed in the garage at the Morton County Sheriff's Department. Now, I know during Occupy Wall Street in Los Angeles, the cops brought everybody into a parking garage, made them kneel until they passed out. A lot of them defecated on themselves, peed on themselves, and then they sued those cops. By the way, the cops like doing that to people. They get a kick out of it. That's why they're cops. That's why they do that. If it bothered them, they wouldn't do it. They do it because they like it. Get that through your head. Those people who were abused by the cops during Occupy Wall Street in Los Angeles sued. They won $3 million. Guess what happened to those cops? Nothing. Guess what? They're doing it again to anybody they feel like. Because they don't have... That money doesn't come out of their pension. That money doesn't come out of their pocket. That money comes out of your pocket. That's why cops are allowed to do this with impunity from coast to coast, and they do it. We live in a police state in America. We're already under surveillance. They already took away habeas corpus. No Trump needed.
Well, hey, some of those cops might have some consequences. They might have to spend a couple days on paid leave. We don't know.
None of them did. Here is somebody, a Facebook post, somebody with the number on them. My friends and relatives, I'm okay, so to speak. I was arrested yesterday. What I saw, felt, and heard was unreal. I'm proud of my people. We stood together. People did their best to protect one another. Unarmed. After we were arrested, we were dehumanized. We were given a number. They trucked us by busloads to Morton County. We were held in dog kennels. There were tarps to cover the two that women were put in. We sat and laid on the cold cement. Standing Rock were the first called out to be shipped out to Fargo. I have so much to say right now, but I just want to let you know I'm okay and we will not stop. There's the numbers they're putting up, people. So that's what the government's doing in your name at the behest. Cause, and by, so, again, when you see a cop, thank him. Thank him for being hired goons, because that's all they are, and that's all these cops are. And we need a total revolution in policing in America. We need a total revolution in America. Our government's corrupt. These guys are doing this with the blessing of the government. The government is doing this. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton pretend like they're freaking powerless. Why? Because they're puppets. They are puppets. Corrupt puppets.
I hope you realize why I play things like this. You'll say, what you playing that left-wing crap for? We love our cops. Bullshit. That oil and endangering that water in that river affects a hell of a lot of the country. And, of course, that pipeline they want to bring down from Canada, that's just to sell oil down at the Gulf and transport it to China and other places. Got nothing to do with helping the average guy in the United States, not even to put a gallon of gas in his car. It's bullshit. And as far as they love to yell and scream about the so-called Indians, the Mongols, who invaded this country or this land centuries and centuries ago. But they did invade it, and we invaded it. Also, that's the way the game goes. But as far as sticking with them on this type of thing, hell yes. Rip those corporations apart. I would not waste one drop of blood defending the corporations in any of these struggles. And as far as the Mongols, get your goddamn bows and arrows out there and blowguns and maybe a shotgun or whatever and go after them. You won't get anybody from my way of thinking interrupting you. Now, there would be probably the KKK, this Hollywood KKK might run up there. We're going to take care of it because we're good Americans. Well, from what I've seen of the KKK in the last few years, they're not going to stop anybody from doing anything. Now, it's interesting. This is all taking place, and I haven't looked on the map, but it's not too far from my lot in Leith, North Dakota. How about that? Maybe I ought to let the Mongols use it as a staging area for their defense against the corporations and the cops. They wouldn't know what to think about that. I hope all this is a forecast of what's coming, because there's going to be all kinds of people agree to disagree with the government from top to bottom. And maybe they can have some ceasefires in between them enough to win, you know? Instead of, look, it's like a guy told me one time, the problem is not right or left, it's who's on top and who's on the bottom. Well, I see my governor is going to be up in Michigan today helping Trump out. Well, I don't see how he can help out Trump when he's a governor of a right-to-work cheap state. They promote the right-to-work cheap. Right-to-work laws are enforced in Indiana. So for him to go up to Michigan with all these out-of-work auto workers, he may not come back. Well, I see somebody burnt a black church down in Mississippi, Hopewell Baptist Church. They're treating it as a hate crime. Well, it could be two or three different things. It could be a hate crime, or it could be blacks burning down their own churches for the insurance money. That's happened many times. Or something else. But then they put daubed a sign on the church, what was left of it, and said, what did they say? I saw it right here on the news bulletin here. Church burned, and it was tagged Vote for Trump, a hate crime. Now, that could very well be the Democrats or the pro-Hillary people could have done that. But who knows? All I know is when blacks separate They're in their own bars, their own churches, their own social things. Leave them alone. That's what we want, is racial separation. What's the problem here? These things are always suspicious as being government operations, FBI operations, or some political entity that's got a lot to gain, like Hillary, because they'll always... Well, of course, if the right-wing Hollywood Klan are stupid enough to do that kind of stuff, just let's go out and get drunk and then go down and burn down a black church. That's going to really help the white race. Wow. Morons. But we'll have to watch out and see what happens and see who they arrest on this operation. Fortunately, I think it's going to be a couple of drunk-ass Klansmen that did it. Too bad, but they don't understand racial separation is what we want. So I sent a reply comment on that. I said maybe it's for the insurance that the church was burnt, or maybe whites who don't understand what real race separatists want. Why would a real white separatist burn an all-black church? We want separation. Only the Hollywood Klan would do that, or a Hillary supporter. You gotta understand this right-wing corporation media stuff with Rush Limbaugh and all those guys. Now, they keep pushing the fact that there's a war on cops by the blacks in the inner city and so forth. They exaggerate this quite a bit, because there's just as much white pissed-off guys coming out swinging at cops as blacks. And a lot of cops have been killed by white working class people that are pissed off. So for white racial activists to jump on the bandwagon and just say it was the blacks is not the truth. And it's supporting the cops by just narrowing in on blacks. Well, I narrow in on blacks when they deserve it, that's for sure. But what's happening here is the gradual suppression of white working class into people who are committing suicide and everything else, and there's no jobs, and they haven't had a job for a long time, and cops are pushing them around, and whites are beginning to gun down the cops too, and just as many numbers. So get that straight. Now, these latest two cops that were shot down were shot down by a white man by the name of Green. And he's a pissed-off white working-class guy. I don't know exactly why he shot him, but there's going to be a hell of a lot more cops shot down, too, as the being pissed off at cops spreads throughout the white working-class population. Just keep an eye on it, and don't spend all your time saying, "Oh, it's just those niggers. Interesting part of this article, the shooting of Bonino the cop and Martin the cop, allegedly by Green, is part of a larger pattern. Using data from the Officer Down Memorial page, New York Daily News writer Sean King has shown that in the first part of this year, white men constituted 71% of the alleged cop killers. This does not include the recent shootings of white police officers such as Dan Glaze, Daryl Spells, and Joseph Zingaro, and Ronald Kinsey, allegedly white suspects. Well, my advice to these white guys, get out of the police force. You don't want to be part of a police state, and you're being pushed to perform radical attacks on white working people and blacks. Instances that did not receive a large amount of national coverage or cause of panic within the right-wing news and entertainment industry. Yeah, see, that's corporations. You guys got to learn not to support those corporate right-wing bullshit artists on the radio. Okay, moreover, federal law enforcement agencies have identified the Sovereign Citizens Movement and other right-wing militias as posing... Well, these are revolutionary right-wing. They're not run-of-the-mill conservative right-wing. They don't worship the cops. They don't necessarily target cops. Some of them do, but Well, they say that these militias are a greater threat to American domestic security than Islamic terrorists. No, the U.S. government is the greatest threat to American domestic security and security all over the world. The warning is well-founded. Since 2001, sovereign citizens and other right-wing militia members have killed more Americans than Islamic terrorists. Well, I've known some of these people. They seem pretty peaceful to me. Most of it was based on just wanting the government to leave them alone. They didn't want to have driver's licenses and things like that. I've discussed that with some of their people way back in California years ago. This warning is well-founded since 2001, sovereign citizens and other right-wing militia members. No, I say white working class. That's who's doing this. Have killed more Americans than Islamic terrorists. Well, of course, because this is our country. And when the government goes bad, who do you think's going to rise up and do things? These organizations are majority white in composition, and many of them have connections to white supremacists and white nationalist organizations. So what, cop? So what, government? So what, media? Fuck you. One such group, the Oath Keepers, says it will be following Donald Trump's commands by intimidating African Americans and other people of color on Election Day. Now, I'm sure that's not what they said. They probably said they're going to watch a lot of polls so that white working class people are not attacked and beaten at the polls and chased away from voting. Of course, I wish they would, because they're just wasting their time. No use wasting or risking your life to vote for these assholes. That's sad. That's sad. There's one good reason to show you're stupid. You're a stupid white man or woman, is to think you're going to change things by going out and voting for one of these bastards. That's sad. It wants me to, I laugh and I cry at the same time. The sovereign citizens and other components of the right-wing militia movement have also been involved in numerous lethal attacks on police officers, firefighters, and other public workers across the United States. Well, did they have it coming? Did they deserve it? Did they employ police state tactics? If they did, then they deserve what they get. In the aftermath of yesterday's unfortunate events at Des Moines, Fox News hate talkers such as Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly will likely not sermonize about the violence committed by white members of the American right wing against the country's police. Oh, corporations love the police. Pussy whites love the police. Nor will Trump launch into a tirade about the white thugs and bad dudes who kill cops. Probably not. It wouldn't serve his purpose. Doesn't mean he's a good guy either. Once again, white racism is shown to be the type of currency in America. Fears about the bogeyman of black crime and how there is a war on police being waged by groups such as Black Lives Matter wins votes and viewers for Republican politicians and the right-wing news and entertainment industry. I don't give a shit if the blacks do what they're going to do in the black ghetto. If they feel a cop needs to be shot, well, that's their business. I'm not going to tell blacks what to do. I don't want any power over the blacks. I don't want any power over their ghettos. Let them run things. White working people, you got to look out for yourself and forget about all that stuff. That's just the corporations and the right-wing conservative neocons trying to get you wasting all your time and crying about what's going on in the black community between the blacks and the cops. Telling the truth about white crime is far less profitable because it would force hard questions about American society, white and white privilege. What white privilege? What the fuck? Any white privilege has been earned with the blood of millions of white people. That far too many white people are intent on avoiding at all costs. Now, this is written by a mestizo, Chauncey DeVega. He writes for Solon, a very anti-white magazine. So, he knows all about why white people kill cops. I was brought up to respect a cop if they respected me. If they don't respect me, I don't respect them. If they treat me reasonable, I'll treat them reasonable. That's just the way it works. It's supposed to work. I know it works that way with me. Cops only have one job, and that's keeping the peace. And that means if things get out of hand in the community and there's riots and all that kind of stuff, they're trying to keep the peace. That's all they're really for. They're not. And law enforcement officers mean they work for the corporations and the big shots against you. Well, now I'm going to bring you some more news from the Middle East, more or less a daily operation, maybe not every day. U.S. crimes in the Middle East and how we're tied into all these bastards. And the military-industrial complex is draining the United States of trillions every year to support criminal activity in the Middle East and create terrorists.
Another problem, the battle plan makes no sense, says Daniel Lazare. By Daniel Lazare. In her final debate with Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton promised that the United States and its allies would follow up the offensive against ISIS-occupied Mosul with an assault on ISIS headquarters in Raqqa in neighboring Syria. Last week, Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter assured the press that an offensive was on the way. It starts in the next few weeks, Carter said. That has long been our plan, and we will be capable of resourcing both, that is, dual assaults on Mosul and Raqqa. We think this is the right moment to begin pushing in Raqqa, a Pentagon spokesman added on Monday. There is a plan in place to begin this. Except that the more the administration assures the public that an assault is just around the corner, the more distant it seems to become. In fact, it looks more and more like an assault on Raqqa won't occur at all. The reason is simple. The strategy is half-baked even by the United States standards. The effort to take back Mosul is off to a dangerous enough start as it is. The problem is not the military campaign, which seems to be making good progress as Iraqi troops enter the city for the first time in 2 years. Rather, it is the larger political setting. Powerful cross-currents are at work involving the Iraqi army, Turkey, Iranian-backed Shiite militias known as Popular Mobilization Forces, or Al-Hashd al-Shabi, and the Kurdish Peshmerga. Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Turkey's neo-Ottoman president, has unsettled the Iraqis by claiming that Mosul lies within his country's traditional sphere of influence and by vowing to protect the city's Sunni population against revenge by Al-Hashd for anti-Shiite atrocities committed by ISIS, also known as ISIL, Islamic State, and Daesh. Unfortunately, Erdogan's fears are not unfounded since Al-Hashd has already been accused of atrocities in Tikrit and Fallujah, while at least one militia leader has sworn to take vengeance in Mosul as well. Although the Iraqi government has promised that the militias will confine their activities to the city's outskirts, the Iraqi army is seen as hardly less threatening since its Shiite flags are now ubiquitous. Mosul residents also feel threatened by the Kurds since they remember all too well when the Peshmerga took over in the wake of the 2003 the United States invasion, sparking a wave of looting that stripped the city clean. Shiite militia members similarly remember when they clashed with the Kurds in the central Iraqi town of Tuzkirma as recently as April and are leery of coming into contact with them as well. Leery allies. So everyone is leery of everyone else, which means that the more such forces converge on Mosul, the greater the risk that years of accumulated fears and hatreds will reach a critical mass and explode. Erdogan is meanwhile refusing to abandon a military beachhead that he maintains in the small town of Bashika a few miles to the northeast, while Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi is threatening that Turkey will be dismantled if it tries to mount a full-scale invasion. We do not want war with Turkey, Abadi said, and we do not want a confrontation with Turkey. But if a confrontation happens, we are ready for it. We will consider Turkey an enemy and we will deal with it as an enemy. Turkey's reply has been to continue massing troops, tanks, and other military hardware on the Iraqi border just 90 miles to the north. On Wednesday, it piled on yet more abuse as Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu demanded of Abadi, "If you have the strength, why did you surrender Mosul to terror organizations?" But as dangerous as all this is, the situation some 280 miles to the west around Raqqa in Syria is even worse. As the United States tries to assemble a force capable of taking on ISIS, it finds itself picking its way through a list of contenders that is little short of dizzying. In addition to Syria, Russia, and Turkey, the list includes the so-called Free Syrian Army, Kurdish People's Protection Units known as the YPG, Sunni Arabs who have joined with the YPG in an umbrella federation known as the Syrian Democratic Forces or SDF, plus the same Iranian-backed Shiite militias in Iraq that have lately begun threatening to cross the border and join in the assault on Raqqa as well. Also dizzying are the local animosities. While Turkey gets along well with Masoud Barzani, leader of the Kurdish Autonomous Zone in northern Iraq, the story is very different in northern Syria, where the left-leaning YPG is dominant. Since the YPG's parent body, the Kurdish Democratic Union, is allied with the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, which has been leading an insurgency inside Turkey since the 1980s, Erdogan sees the militia as no better than Islamic State and possibly even worse. The YPG feels the same way, describing Erdogan and ISIS as nothing less than brothers under the skin. The YPG is hostile to the Free Syrian Army since it took part in last summer's Turkish incursion into northern Syria, whose primary goal was to prevent Kurdish militia units in northeastern Syria from hooking up with fellow YPG fighters in the northwest. The FSA, meanwhile, is not only anti-YPG but anti-U.S. even though its Turkish sponsors are nominally pro. Thus, Free Syrian Army members erupted in anti-American chanting when a convoy of the United States commandos showed up in the Turkish-occupied town of Al-Rai in mid-September, forcing the Americans to flee. "Christians and Americans have no place among us," one militant shouted. "They want to wage a crusader war to occupy Syria." Another called out, "The collaborators of America are dogs and pigs. They wage a crusader war against Syria and Islam." This is one of the groups that Washington classifies as secular and moderate. Still, Washington's hope is that the various factions will put their differences aside long enough to liberate Raqqa. The prospect seems unlikely, especially since fighting between the Turkish-backed FSA and the YPG seems to be spreading. Turkey killing Kurds. On October 20, Turkish jets and artillery pounded YPG SDF positions northeast of Aleppo, killing as many as 200 fighters. Since then, the two groups, Turkey and the Free Syrian Army on one side, the YPG and anti-Turkish Arabs of the SDF on the other, have been engaged in a struggle for control of ISIS-occupied Al-Bab, 20 miles or so south of the Turkish border and roughly the same distance northeast of Aleppo. If Turkish FSA forces take Al-Bab, then Kurdish hopes of linking up their forces in northeastern and northwestern Syria will have been dashed. The FSA would then be in a position to push east to Raqqa, which would mean a clash with both the main body of the YPG and ISIS. Or, as the often perceptive Moon of Alabama website suggests, it could instead wheel about and attempt to relieve its fellow Salafists besieged in Aleppo. That would mean a head-on collision with Syrian government forces and exposure to Russian jets, a point that a Syrian government helicopter drove home last week by bombing Turkish FSA forces engaged in combat with the YPG. Internecine warfare like this can only benefit Islamic State, an undisputed expert at using its opponent's differences to its own advantage. This is why it was able to put down roots in Syria in the first place, because the United States was too busy trying to topple Bashar al-Assad to worry about an al-Qaeda offshoot that Obama famously dismissed as nothing more than a JV team. It's also why Islamic State was able to establish bases and supply lines in Turkey, because Erdogan was more concerned with fighting Assad and the Kurds to concern himself with what his fellow Sunnis were up to. A northern Syrian and Iraqi landscape torn by infighting is perfect for a hyperviolent Sunni Salafist group skilled at playing one group off against another. The White House dimly senses that it has gotten itself into a mess, which is why officials turn vague and inscrutable whenever reporters press for details concerning a reported assault on Raqqa. The problem, as the United States officials see it, is that Erdogan remains unalterably opposed to the YPG-SDF even though it is the only ground force capable of fighting Islamic State. Hence, it is impossible to take Raqqa without alienating a fellow member of NATO. We do not need terrorist organizations like the PYD-YPG, Erdogan says he told Obama in an October 26 phone call, referring to the militia and Kurdish Democratic Union. I said, come, let's remove Islamic State from Raqqa together. We will sort this out together with you. We have the strength. The United States doubts that Erdogan does have that capability yet is unable to say no. The upshot is talks, negotiations, and growing delays. Jennifer Caffarella, a Syria expert at the Neocon Institute for the Study of War, grouses that the administration is stalling while, on the other side of the debate, foreign policy realists wonder why the administration is rushing ahead with a strategy that it knows won't work. Skeptical analysis. In a hard-hitting analysis in the conservative but often skeptical National Interest, Daniel L. Davis, a retired Army colonel and Afghan veteran, points out that whereas a national army, well-armed militias, the United States ground and intelligence forces, and resupply lines through friendly territory are all in place in northern Iraq, none of those things exist with regard to Raqqa. The political problems, he adds, are even more daunting. Map of Syria. When Kurdish units liberated the ISIS-occupied town of Manbij in August, Davis notes, grateful residents told YPG members, "You are our children, you are our heroes, you are the blood of our hearts." Yet the YPG's reward was to be denounced as terrorists by Erdogan and instructed to leave by the United States. What possible assurances could the United States give to the Kurds, Davis writes, that upon successful liberation of Raqqa, the Turkish army isn't going to turn on them? Why would the Turks bomb the Kurdish troops one day and then work with them the next, or allow the Kurds to maintain a presence after liberating Raqqa? There is no recognizable logic in these unsubstantiated hopes. Davis is correct. But, then, there is no recognizable logic in the Obama administration's intervention in Syria in general. Why insist that Assad step down, for example, when the only effect will be to clear a path for al-Qaeda and Islamic State straight through to the presidential palace in Damascus? Why back a Turkish incursion into northern Syria when the only result is to infuriate Kurds who are the only effective anti-ISIS fighting force that the United States has on its side? Why insist that the United States wants a democratic solution to the Syrian civil war when the countries backing the anti-Assad forces, that is Saudi Arabia and the other Arab oil monarchies, are some of the most undemocratic societies on earth? None of it makes sense. But since the Israelis, Turks, and Saudis all want Assad to go, the Obama administration feels that it has no choice but to comply. How else can it keep a fractious empire together if not by catering to its client state's whims and desires? When empires are strong, they can afford to say no. But when they are weak and overextended, they do as they are told. This is why the United States is frozen with regard to Raqqa. It can't disappoint its allies by calling an assault off, and it can't push ahead with a plan that doesn't add up. So it dawdles.
So there you go, boys and girls. Now, you notice how complex and screwed up that was? That's your United States government. That's the people who are supposed to be taking care of things. But why are they taking care of things over there? Oh, you're going to see oil? Well, we don't need oil as much as we used to, do we? So get out of there, you dumb sons of bitches in the Pentagon. Pull out now. Get out of there and quit inching us towards a nuclear war by trying to bait Russia. I want you to listen to this stuff carefully, because we got to stop it some way, somehow, if it's possible. The military-industrial complex and runaway capitalist greed are killing us, and it's killing other people. Now, all these veterans coming back from there, you know, we've been using this depleted uranium ammunition ever since we've been in the Middle East. It's everywhere. It's in the dirt, it's in the water, it's everywhere. And all these veterans coming back been breathing this shit for their whole tour while they're over there. Now, that has a long-range effect on sickness among the veterans. And you're going to see thousands of them that are terminally injured by breathing in this crap, surplus nuclear dust. And they're going to do weird things, and they're going to wipe out their families and everything else. That's why nobody should go over there. Don't ever volunteer for this shit. But if you do, we told you, I've been telling you for several years, I'm going to run some of that information again probably next week that I ran before. Anyhow, you're being bossed around by a criminal government, criminal cops, criminal politicians, corporations, and everybody else. You better get yourself ready for the struggle, because either you're going to struggle or you're going to die one of these days. That's it for me for this week, and I'll be back with you on Moonsday. I may put out some bulletins on Saturday and Sunday, depending on what happens. At least maybe by Tuesday we can get over all this fake bullshit that you're going to choose a leader. And you're not choosing anything. The corporations are still going to be in charge. The banks are still going to be in charge. The military is going to be in charge. And you're not going to change anything.